So today, as we walk through these verses, mainly 6 and 7, we have been walking through 4 and 5 in the last 2 weeks. I have one point from this. I have 2 points tonight, but the first one is this one. And I will show you how I came up with this. This is the first point. God has called us to be holy and evangelistic. Obey and proclaim the word. God has called us to be holy and evangelistic. Obey and proclaim the word. So I want us to see here. I think my iPad might be working. I don't know. They will tell me now. Can you see this? Yes, there you go. Perfect. Here we are. So first, obedience. We see the word obedience is mentioned here. Let's read in verse 6. Including you, let me go to verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. This is important. Paul goes on to say that the purpose of the gift that he had received in Christ, in his case, grace and apostleship, is to bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name. His name here is the Lord Jesus Christ, among all nations. So the purpose is obedience. So obedience follows from the truth that Paul expressed in verse 1 when he said that he was a slave, a servant of Christ. Believers, come back here, belong to Christ Jesus without reservation. Therefore, they owe him the most complete obedience. Obedience for the Christian is not an option. Believers belong to Christ without reservation. It is binding on all Christians. When anyone is saved through faith, it is with a view to obedience. The life is given in service to the Lord in whom he has come to believe. Biblical faith leads to devotion and obedience to Christ and to the truth of the gospel. Faith and obedience, they belong together. They are not the same, but they walk together. You cannot have obedience without faith. So those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will seek to obey him. Faith and obedience belongs together. Why? Because he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me back in the passage in verse 4 when he says, we'll put it right here, verse 4. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in verse 7, he says, in verse 6, including those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, he says, what is verse 7 right here? Here it is. Sorry, we're live. To the Lord Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saint. Those who belong to Jesus, they obey Christ. Why? Because he is our Lord. You cannot say that you follow Jesus if you don't obey him, you don't seek to be faithful to him. Faith is not a vague or generic feeling. It has a clear object. There's an unreserved commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say faith, it is important for us to understand that the most important aspect is the object of our faith. Some people in the TV, they will say, preachers, you need more faith. You need more faith. The point and the power is not how much faith you have, it's the object of our faith. For example, a friend, a brother who was baptized on Sunday, who's a new believer, who's growing in his faith, is as saved as Miss Wanda, who has been walking with the Lord for perhaps 4 decades. It is not how much faith you have that saves you. It's the object of the faith. The strong Christian, the mature Christian, is as saved as a new believer. Because it's not the perfection that we have that saves us, but it's the object in whom we have trusted, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christian, the mature one, the one who knows his Bible, who's faithful to the Lord, will make it to heaven. The Christian, the one who has trusted the Lord, who's struggling today, will make it to heaven because they are saved by the object of their faith. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we put our faith in Christ, that faith will be demonstrated in our obedience to him. This is our answer to those who say, well, I received Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. That is nonsensical for the Bible. You cannot have Christ if he is not your Lord. The most basic confession of the Christian is, Jesus is Lord. That is the most basic confession of the Christian faith. Christ is the Lord. And I want us to see that here in the passage. But also I want us to see here that he's writing to the saints, who those who are, verse 7, he says, to all of those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saint. This is an important term. There are saints. And when I say that, I don't mean the football team from New Orleans, but we mean those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul always is addressing the Christian as saint. He never called Christians as Christians. He says the saints. He uses that word, saint, I think 40 times is it used in the New Testament. And when Paul is using that word, saints, it's always in the plural. It's never in the singular. Why? Because he's writing to the Christians, to the church. That is important for us to understand. The New Testament letters, they are addressed to the church. They are not addressed to the pastors or to the deacons. They are addressed to the saints, those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have believed in Christ, you are sanctified in Christ. And I think the challenge for many of us that we sometimes fail to grasp is that we have been influenced by the Roman Catholic understanding of saint. And a saint, we think someone who has an extremely devoted life, someone who can perform a miracle. But that's not how the Bible teaches about saints. Those who are in Christ Jesus are saints. If you are in Christ, you are holy in Christ Jesus. You have the righteousness of Christ. Christians have been set apart, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and they are transformed by God. The phrase, all the saints, is based in God's calling to his people to be a holy people. In Christ, all God's people are holy. We're saints in Christ Jesus. So I want to show you a few examples how the Bible, specifically Paul, uses the word saint. Let's go first to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, you see, the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Their sanctification is in Christ Jesus, called to be saint, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what he says? Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You see that? It's very important that sanctification is not because we earn it. It's because it was given to us in Christ Jesus. The same we can see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. When Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. You see, he's writing to the saints. He doesn't say to the Christians or to the church. And all of those who are part of the church are saints. The new believer that was saved last week is a saint. The Christian has been walking with the Lord Jesus for the last 50 years is a saint, because that's holiness comes to us in Christ Jesus. That's one example. Another one, in Colossians 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Again, that word saints is connected with our position in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. But it's not also that. Let me give you another example of that. In Colossians 3:12, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You see, that word holy is the same word as, oh my goodness, where are you going? We'll find it. Tommy, we need help here. Let me get out. I will come back to that. Oh, you mean it. I was kidding, but it's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tommy. There you go. In Colossians 3, verse 12, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But you see, those who are in God are holy. That is the same word as saint in the Greek, saint. The same in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. That is the same word as saint. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. You see the point here? It is always in Christ Jesus. For all those believers are saints. I will say this to you. You perhaps you don't feel like a saint today. Your emotions is not the point. It's the faith that you have in Christ. You are a saint if you have believed in Christ Jesus, even when you do not feel that way. Even when you don't feel like you are a saint, you are a saint in Christ Jesus. Because your holiness, your righteousness, your sanctification comes from him. Holiness does not come from something we achieve, but from God, and was given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I call positional holiness. It's because on the position that we are in Christ Jesus, it's given to us because we are in him, not because something that we obtained by our works or effort. It's by the faith that we have in him, the one who is holy. And this is so important for us, because who we are in Christ should shape how we walk and how we interact with others. I always think, as a pastor, the best thing I can give to the church is my holiness in Christ, to walk worthy of the gospel. The best gift that a husband can give to his wife, or a wife to his husband, is their sanctification in Christ Jesus, their holiness in Christ. Because out of that, everything flows. So saints are those who belong to Christ and are in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Romans 1:7. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saint. And then let's see Philippians 1:1. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Saints are those who are in Christ. You know, the Bible speaks about humanity being in Adam or being in Christ. You can separate humanity in two groups. those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. If you are in Adam, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. If you are in Christ, you are alive. This is what he says here. And the question here is, come back here. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus? When he's writing to the church, he says, those who are in Christ at Philippi, they live in Philippi, the city, but they are in Christ Jesus. And the question is, I mean, I will tell you this. You can be inside this building, you can be in the church, and not in Christ Jesus. You can be inside these walls, and yet not in Christ. It's like, I can be at the hospital without being a doctor or a nurse. I can be in a restaurant without being a chef. And you can be in the church without being in Christ. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we in Christ? In whom we are. Because if we are in Christ, we are saved. But if you are not in Christ, you are not. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. Only in Christ we can be holy and saved. Only in him we can be righteous. So if you are here and you're not a Christian, I invite you to trust in Jesus, to put your faith in him. The Bible teaches that you are a sinner. All of us, by nature, we sin. But God, in his grace and mercy, sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to live the perfect life that you and I should have lived, but we did not, to die the death that we all deserved. And Christ came, he died the penalty of our sins on the cross. He was buried. 3 days after, he was raised from the dead. He ascended into the heavens, and he sent his Spirit to anyone who would trust in him. If you're not in Christ today, I invite you to come to him. At the end of the service, pastors will be here. We would love to talk with you about that. So, to be in Christ is to be a saint. And then Paul says, to those who are called. To those who are called. Let me go here. He says here. Verse 7, he says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So the word called here is the same word that he used in verse 1 to talk about Paul being called to Christ. And this is an important concept because he uses this all the time, those who are called. But sometimes we don't understand that word because we talk about call or calling in a very subjective way. Like, for example, I think God is calling me to do this. I think God called me to do this. But the Bible, when the Bible talks about calling, it's most of the time it's in reference to salvation. It's to be saved. God is calling all people to believe so that they will be saved. Romans 1, 6, 7, that's the point he's making. He's also making the same point in Acts 17, 30, when Paul is in Athens, he's speaking to the Greeks, and he said, God calls, commands all people in every place to repent and to believe. God is calling you to put your faith in Christ. Regardless of your background, God is calling all people to put their faith in Christ Jesus. It's a call to salvation. But he also says, those who are in God, loved by God. Let me go here. We're loved. This iPad is right here. Think about this. Give another example right here. Romans 8:30. He says, those who he predestined, he also called. That is a call to salvation. Also in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Galatians 1:6, it says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ Jesus. So when the Bible says that we are called in Christ, meaning is that we have been saved in Christ. And the point here is, you and I, believers, have been called by God in Christ Jesus to be holy. When Christ saved us, he saved us to obey him, to follow him, and to trust in him. And now, before to the last and second point is this: God really loves us. God really loves us. Let me go back to verse 1. This is what he says in verse 7. He says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God. In Christ, you are loved by God. And the loved here is a different love, because God loves the world. God loves all people. But this love here is a unique love. It's a saving love. It's a unique affection that God sets on us in Christ Jesus. And then he says, it is because we are in Christ that we are loved by God. It is only because God's self-giving, his love to us, the gospel, that we exist. It is because God has loved us in Christ Jesus that we know that that love will never will go away. Romans 5:8 says, he loved us. When we were sinners, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Or think about Romans 8:35. When he said, there's nothing in the world that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let me go to those verses. Right here. Think about Romans 5:8. It says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is manifested in the sending of his Son to die for us. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. And the question is, nothing. The Christians are loved by God. And that is not a cliche, but a truth to be received with awe and wonder. So today, brothers and sisters, regardless of how you feel, if you are struggling, if you feel that you are exhausted, that you cannot keep going, remind yourself that in Christ you are loved. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When Satan is tempting us or is questioning us about the love of God, remind yourself that in Christ you are loved, and that nothing can separate you from that love. Not even the mistakes that you have made, the sins that you have committed, the fears that you have, nothing can separate us from that love. In a moment, I want to pray. And then I will ask Pastor Greg Murphy to come here and to lead us in a season of prayer as we respond to the word. Remember this: if you are here and you are in Christ, God has called you to be holy, to obey his word, and to proclaim his word to all people. And remind yourself today that in Christ you are loved. If you don't know how much God loves you, think about this: God loves you the same way he loves his Son, because in Christ you are holy. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your grace and mercy. We praise you for the gospel of Christ Jesus, our Lord. I pray that we will be obedient to you, that will be marked by holiness and obedience. Help us to be faithful, to follow you, to trust in you. In Christ we pray. Amen.